Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church in this season of Advent. If ever there was a year we needed Advent, this is the year. We hardly know how to describe the year we have lived through. We hesitate to reflect on all the mess around us in 2020. All we know is that nothing seems right. Nothing seems like it used to be. Nothing. We need Advent.
The prophet Isaiah cried out for us, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, to make your name known, so that nations might tremble at your presence." So tear through the mess, O Lord, and come down to us again. We long to be your people, a people of hope.
We light this first candle as a sign of our hope, hope that you can meet us, even in the mess of our world. Hope that you still see us, though we feel we are lost in the rubble. Let this light be the guide that brings us to Emmanuel once more.
O come, Emmanuel.
Let us now be in an attitude of prayer together. God of all blessings, source of all life, giver of all grace, we thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains life, for the food of this earth that nurtures life, for the love of family and friends without which there would be no life. We thank you and ask for prayers of healing for all those named on our prayer list as well as those in our hearts. We thank you for the mystery of creation, for the beauty that the eye can see, for the joy that the ear may hear, for the unknown that we cannot behold filling the universe with wonder, for the expanse of space that draws us beyond the definitions of ourselves. We thank you for setting us in communities, for those who nurture our becoming, for friends who love us by choice, for companions at work who share our burdens and daily tasks, for strangers who welcome us into their midst, for people from other lands who call us to grow in understanding, for children who lighten our moments with delight, for the unborn who offer us hope for the future, for all of those who have gone before, people strong and brave, willing to put their lives on the line for the causes they believe in. We give you thanks. For freedom of speech and of the press, for the avenues open to express ourselves, and for opportunities to effect change, we give you thanks. Help us, O God, to be responsible stewards of your blessings, people who care for the earth and all of its people. Keep us connected with all of humanity, even though miles and cultures tend to separate us. May we always respond to your call with a true spirit of thanksgiving. We thank you for this day, for life and one more day to love, for opportunity and one more day to work for justice and peace, for neighbours and one more person to love, for your grace and one more experience of your presence, for your promise to be with us, to be our God and to give salvation. For these and all blessings, we give you thanks, eternal, loving God. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. And now we join our voices together in thanksgiving as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, just a few events to have you on your radar so that you know what we've got coming up in the next few weeks as we start our journey through Advent. The Church Chat group is studying a book together for the whole of Advent. It's not too late to join. It's a great book by Professor Bruce Eppley called Thin Places Everywhere. Please email me, Rev Denise, at hollywoodumc.org to get more details and find out how you can join. On December 5th, which is next Saturday, we have a pickup for the Compassion Bears that you have all loved and dressed. So we look forward to seeing what you've done with your bears this year and receiving them so I can take them to the children living with HIV and AIDS. And finally, another volunteer opportunity, our traditional Christmas activities and lunches with Temple Israel is still happening this year. It's a very different event and will be a walkthrough parking lot pickup event rather than a sit-down meal, but I would love to have some people come and help and volunteer on Christmas Day. So please email me, Rev Denise at hollywoodumc.org, if you would like to take part in that event again this year. Everything we do at HUMC is made possible by you, by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your witness, and of course by your financial gifts. In these difficult times, we are all struggling, and anything you can do to help us continue to work and create our missions in the heart of Hollywood is very much appreciated. There are a number of ways you can give on your screen right now, including a QR code, which you can just take a photograph of with your phone, and it will take you directly to where you need to go. Blessings, family.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, then you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you?
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greetings this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High and the Lord God, and will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born and will be holy. He will be the Son of God, and now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who will be said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Today we begin the season of Advent with our new sermon series, Incarnation. This series, based on the book by Adam Hamilton, the pastor of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection, focuses not on the how of God coming to be born among us, but rather the why God chose to come to earth as the Christ. And the abundance of other titles, other names besides Jesus that have been given to him. Names like King, Emmanuel, Light of the World, Savior, Messiah, Prince of Peace. During Advent, we will explore what these names say about the baby whom we are waiting to be born among us. And we will focus on how we might ourselves incarnate the reality of the Christ child into our own lives. We begin this morning with what it means to call Christ the King. Now, in the liturgical calendar, the Sunday right before the beginning of Advent is known as Christ the King Sunday. Now, a lot of times it's also Thanksgiving Sunday, so that's typically where we put our focus. And we celebrated that just last week. But Christ the King, which is also known as the Reign of Christ Sunday, connects the last bit of ordinary time, that time since the day of Pentecost, with Advent, the beginning of a new liturgical year. Advent, which is a season of waiting and expectation for the Christ to be born among us. Debbie Thomas writes that the Reign of Christ Sunday is a fairly recent addition to the Western liturgical calendar. It was instituted in 1925 in the hope that a world ravaged by World War I might find in Jesus' humble kingship a needed alternative to empire, nationalism, consumerism, and secularism. Now, part of the reason we as a society haven't found that alternative is because we have forgotten that term humble before king. We have misinterpreted what it means to say that Jesus is king. Here again, a portion of our gospel lesson from Luke, which Sadie read so well for us today. The angel Gabriel appeared and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, when preaching on this passage, known as the Annunciation, typically the focus is on Mary, appropriately, and her response to God. It is only because Mary said yes to God, in spite of her fear and trepidation, that Jesus comes to be born among us. To answer the question posed in the song that Heather sang so beautifully for us today, Mary, did you know? Well, in part, yes, because Gabriel defines who this child will be. Mary is to name him Jesus, but he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will have the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But what did the angel Gabriel mean by king? We know that God had made a promise to the Jewish people that a descendant of King David would rule over God's people forever. That promise gave hope to the Jewish people during long periods when they were living in exile or when foreign kings ruled over their lands. The prophet Isaiah offered a vision for what an ideal king would be. He wrote, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness, from this time onwards and forevermore." 700 years after Isaiah wrote those words, we know the Jewish people were yearning for such a king. Herod the Great ruled the land, but he was neither just nor righteous, nor was he from David's royal lineage. Plus, he only ruled because the emperor in Rome allowed him to. It was in this context that the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And there in the midst of the Annunciation was the promise given by God to David that a descendant of David would rule forever and receive the names given by Isaiah for his reign among us, including king. Now, it's important to remember that when we say Christ the King, we're not talking about a reign of supremacy or domination or even greatness. We're talking about a kingdom that Mary envisioned in her song, the Magnificat, which offers us a glimpse of what the world can be once God incarnate, Emmanuel, is born. Mary sang in part, "He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the holy. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." When we speak of Christ as King, to again quote Debbie Thomas, we remember that the only power Jesus wielded on earth was the power to give himself away. He's the king who entered humanity red-faced and crying, a king whose greatest displays of power included riding on a donkey, washing dirty feet, hanging on a cross, and frying fish for a beach for breakfast for his agnostic friends. He is the God of kenosis, the God who empties himself of all privilege. He is the God who perpetually pours himself out and surrenders his own life for his loved ones. You see, Jesus was born to create a kingdom in which loving God and loving each other are the two greatest commandments. Jesus was born to bring forth a kingdom in which blessed are the poor. Jesus was born to bring forth a kingdom in which power and authority is not vested in one who has a title. Instead, true power, true authority comes from caring for the least and the lost, the most vulnerable among us. The kingdom of Jesus is the beloved community in which all are equal and beloved and worthy of dignity and grace. You know, I thought about what it means to be the kingdom of God this week when a production company for a teen drama on Hulu contacted us. They've filmed at our Hollywood campus in the past and they wanted to see if they could return. Well, it turns out they had been looking at another church in town, but when they showed that church the script, which had a gay lead character in it, the church said, "No, you can't film here." So they called us and we said, "You know what? You are always welcome at Hollywood United Methodist Church." But I was pondering, how is refusing entry into a church based on who you are, or who you love, or who your characters love, a manifestation of the values of the Christ child? Well, plain and simple, it just isn't. But you know, that's exactly what was happening during the AIDS pandemic of the 1980s. For those of you who are old enough to remember those days, they were terrifying and they were heartbreaking. No one didn't know someone who was affected. Most people had multiple friends diagnosed and passed within just a matter of weeks, when these were the days of ignorance and fear, when an elementary school student named Ryan White was not allowed to return to class to be with his classmates, when barbershops and salons, and yes, even churches proclaimed that they did not want gay folks around because they might be infected and, "Ooh, I don't want to catch AIDS," as if. It was in 1993, when that fear and paranoia reached a fever pitch, that this congregation asked, "What can we do?" And we decided that we would proclaim that all are welcome in this place, by affixing two red ribbons of love and hope to the side of our tower, so that anyone would be able to walk through our front doors, gay or straight, HIV positive or negative, and find a home and join with this community in saying the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in God, and I will not be afraid." So family, on this World AIDS Sunday, we give thanks for the saints that went before us, who had a vision of what God's kingdom on earth could and should look like, who wanted our building, as well as our congregation then and now, to be a symbol of hope for all who seek justice and inclusion and love. On Tuesday, December 1st at 6 p.m., I will be offering the invocation for the virtual World AIDS Remembrance organized by the WAL Las Memorias Project in East Los Angeles. The website where you can join us is in the chat. And I encourage you to join me and others as we remember those whom we have lost in that pandemic. Meantime, we are nearly a month out from Election Day. And as of this writing, we have a new president-elect and an incumbent president who is taking tepid steps toward acknowledging a transition of power. We also have an incumbent president unwilling to concede or strategically address the spiking coronavirus that threatens the lives and the livelihoods of too many nationwide. January 20th will come, and with it, a change to a national plan to address the virus. A vaccine is on the way, and that's good news. But there have been so much unnecessary loss and death that our hearts grieve for what could have been. We also grieve for the deep polarization in our nation, which will take time and work to mend and to heal. In his book, Incarnation, Adam Hamilton writes that just after Election Day, Advent arrives, and Christians prepare to celebrate the birth of their King. This season puts into perspective all of our political wrangling. Whatever Christians think about their president and whoever we voted for in the various elections, we are meant to know that there is only one King, and it is to him that we give our highest allegiance. While our politics have divided us, Advent should bring us together, uniting us around the newborn King and his life, message, ministry, death, and resurrection. He then goes on to quote John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. Wesley wrote, "Would to God that all the party names and unscriptural phrases and forms which have divided the Christian world were forgot, and that we all might agree to sit down together as humble, loving disciples at the feet of Jesus to hear his word, to imbibe his spirit, and to transcribe his life into our own." Family, to bring forth change, each of us needs to transcribe the life of Jesus into our own. We need to incarnate the Christ in our life so that we can bring forth the beloved community together, so that we can radically reorder society's values to reflect the love of God in Jesus Christ, that radical reordering we call the kingdom of God. It becomes a society in which the wolf lies down with the lamb, in which we allow our children to lead us in the ways that lead us to peace and justice and hope. To build that kingdom, to build that community, will take all of us. But it will be a community in which all God's children are equally valued and loved. It will be a community that chooses compassion over stigma, inclusion over legalism, hope over fear. It will be a kingdom in which we deepen our life in Jesus Christ through our red ribbons, through feeding the homeless, through working for justice for all God's people. It will be a kingdom that stands as an alternative to empire, nationalism, consumerism, and secularism. Finally, it will be a kingdom and an incarnation made possible by a young girl named Mary, who said yes to God and who sang. Amen.